The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating. Friday, as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, the big miss in the academic world is one primary principle. Uh-oh. Dave, really? Yep. Regular rejoicing in the Lord. It is not only situational, which it is situational, it's also supposed to be part of our lifestyle. Not too many books written that way, academically. We rejoice, we give thanks, we honor God. Why? Seriously? Because God has blessed us both then, now, and he will so later. Next, the Greek word for sin is hamatiar. Ooh, it means to miss the mark. It's one definition of sin. Here is another definition of sin that will put our life in quick perspective. Sin, get ready, is anything contrary to God. Even as Christians, we need healing from the damage sin causes. I'll explain. And finally, if we read the Old Testament prophets, we find out that God dislikes people who turn their hearts away from the Lord. But there is one thing that God dislikes more than people turning their hearts away. Do you know what that is? It's the teachers who encourage people to turn their hearts away. Their destruction is about to wake up.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. I like that word. You can say it in a certain way. Prevailing. Now, if you say it like a mouse, prevailing, it doesn't have the same effect. So you got to say prevailing like that. Not like a mouse. Prevailing. No. Prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. Comes to my $1.19 Chromebook. We proved that the other day when the text went down. Got all the emails from the people that sent them. You can also text now, because it all appears to be working, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific T will answer the phone, and that will be terrific for you. Makes it super cool, super easy. Keep in mind, any topics open for conversation, and the primary reason for that, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. It's the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. One of the things I want you to know is if you have a prayer request, a praise report, you have a question about something that's not, you know, maybe the isosceles degree of how it separates between the moon and the sun and the earth and what the space actual gravitational pull is and the pounds per inch or the PSI situation, I'll just say this. I wouldn't know that. It's not a question you can ask me. You probably don't want to ask me any math questions. I'm bad at that too. But if they're simple questions or if they're not too deep or too theological, I may be able to answer that. Please don't ask me to recite all of church history in 30 seconds, but I could. Genesis to Malachi. There you go. Then Matthew to Revelation. There, I did it. The other part about that is that you get to answer trivia questions, which we offer up before you to give you a chance to think things through. This is a pretty straightforward one. This man's mother was visited by an angel of the Lord who told her she would have a son who would be dedicated as a Nazirite. Who is she? I'm sorry, wrong. Who is he? Well, that was just terrible. I did that just absolutely wrong. Who is he that was talked about? This man's mother was visited by an angel, okay? Now, you got to go Old Testament because most men are going to go Mary. Go Old Testament, Old Testament, Old Testament. This man's mother was visited by an angel of the Lord who told her that she would have a son who would be dedicated as a Nazirite. Who was the Nazirite? Who was the guy? Okay? Okay. That was my fault. I read it wrong. I did it wrong. I'm sorry. Okay, somebody ready to answer the question? Hope they forgive me. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. Did you hear my little correction there at the end?
No, I didn't. I turned my radio down.
Okay, all right. Let me make sure I give it right. I don't want you to get the wrong question because that'd be my fault, okay? Here's what the question is. This man's mother was visited by an angel of the Lord, and this is in the Old Testament, who told her she would have a son and that he would be dedicated as a Nazirite. Who was he? Who was he?
The angel.
Okay, who was the guy, the son? What was the son's name?
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, now that's why I said Old Testament. He was a judge. Oh. He was a judge in the Old Testament, kind of a radical one. Who was a radical judge whose mom was visited by an angel?
Oh, gosh, I have no clue. I'm bad.
See, this is why I feel bad, because I knew when I said the question, I did it bad. And it was like my fault. I knew I did this wrong. So the question is, the man's mother was visited by the angel of the Lord who said that he's going to be raised and dedicated as a Nazirite. And it's the Old Testament. Who was he, that person that was raised as a Nazirite? That would be the strong guy of the judges. Who is the strongest guy of all the judges? The strongest guy in the Bible? Think of it. It rhymes with ham.
Samson?
Yes, that's it! Oh. Samson's mother was visited by an angel. That's why it's my fault. In Judges chapter 13, verse 1 through 20, she was visited by an angel and said, you're going to raise your son as a Nazirite.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I haven't read that in a long time, and I forgot.
Well, I will take partial blame. I'm going to take partial blame here because I didn't do that great job of communicating it. So you'll just have to – you have to forgive me, because if you don't, then the Lord won't be happy. So you have to.
All right. Well, thanks for your show. I really enjoy it, and y'all have a great day.
All right. Thanks so much.
Y'all have a good weekend, too.
You too. You too as well. God
Thank
bless.
You.
God
Bye-bye.
Bless. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, that's David. Boy, did I ruin that. Didn't we say it's not professional? I know we said that somewhere, right?
We said it.
I said it. I say it on a regular basis. The next question won't be as bad, okay? That's all I'm going to say. The next question won't be as bad, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7. Listen to this. This is a classic. You will eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice with your household in everything you do, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Now, I want to repeat this because, as you know, this has a New Testament counterpart. This is Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7. You will eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice with your household in everything you do, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Rejoice in everything, right? What is that? What is that? Doesn't that sound familiar? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice always. Why? Because the Lord has blessed us. Now, what happens is, as the children of Israel did, and as we have done on too many occasions, we go through some trial, we go through some major moment is as big as the Red Sea being in the way as a barrier. The Lord splits it wide open so an entire nation walks through on dry land, not muddy land, and they walk through, and then he closes it up and all the Egyptians die, and God does this fantastic thing, and then we get into the next process and God gives us deliverance in that, and the next one, and we get deliverance in that, and at some point we just have to turn the button and say, somehow, some way, this goofy insanity that I'm going through is going to turn and leave a testimony for the glory of God. And we have to think that way because the scripture commands it and our faith requires it. Let me ask you this question. This will really help you put it in perspective. Do you believe God has your best interests in mind? Yes or no? Do you believe God has your best interests in mind? Many, many of you are saying, yes, yes, I believe he has my best interests in mind. Well, then wouldn't that apply to the things that we go through? Doesn't that put us in a place where we can rejoice through all the things that we encounter because we know that he has our best interests in mind? Shouldn't that be a part of our it should be situational, but it should be a part of our character that we are genuinely thankful ahead. Romans chapter 1, Paul said, first, I thank my God. I mean, first, this is about acknowledging and praising, and I'm not trying to make a big differential right now between rejoicing and thanksgiving. I'm trying to talk about the attitude of gratitude that's on the inside. I'm like, yeah, I don't like some of the trials either. But has God ever let me down? No. And I don't win those trials by complaining louder. I found out that is not the solution. In fact, I think by complaining, we extend the trials. I'm pretty sure that's what's going on. But we should be rejoicing in everything. You will eat there in the presence of the Lord and rejoice in the household in everything you do, because the Lord your God is with you. And then again, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. A little less whining, a little more appreciation, a little less cheese with that wine. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know, a little.
Telling
bit
me the
of,
show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where did that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said.
not you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's a, kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to remind you, so for some people who are texting, I'm getting everybody's text. I'm not texting too many people back, just a few, just to make sure that it works so that my phone doesn't like pop off the little holder and then walk off the end of the table and then walk out the building, because that's... That seems to have been happening lately. So I'm just telling you. So if you don't see me respond to you in the text, it's not because I'm not getting it, you know, or anything like that. It's working great. Looks like everything is just okie-dokie artichoke. Again, a great theological term. Here you go. Here's the next. Somebody's calling in already. I didn't even do the trivia question yet. All right, I'm going to do the trivia question real quickly. Jacob is the only person known to have wrestled with an angel. Now, that's the only person we know of or that we have a whole story about. What super kindly act did the angel perform after the wrestling match? So, in other words, after Jacob wrestled with the angel, okay, what did the angel do? He did something that was super kind. What did he do? What did he do? What did he do? Just keep it simple. Don't overthink it. Just like, oh, after that whole thing happened, he wouldn't let go until he would do what? That's what we're talking about. In the meantime, somebody calling in with a question or a trivia answer or both? What do we got? Okay, here we go. I'm going there. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Shabbat shalom.
Hey, Sam. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm good, and I'm the Nazarene.
Yay! Nazarene. Excellent job on that one, by the way. You got a prayer?
I have a trivia question for you.
Yeah?
Tell me the name of the Italian prophet in the Old Testament.
The Italian prophet in the Old Testament. I don't know.
Oh, come on, David.
The Italian prophet in the Old Testament. I don't know where you're going with it, so I'm going to say, I don't know. Tell me.
Because it wasn't all the Hebrews. There was the Italian one, too.
Wait, say that again?
It wasn't all the Hebrew prophet. There was one Italian as well.
That's what I say. Who is it? Which prophet is it?
Malachi.
Malachi?
Malachi.
Malachi.
In English.
Malachi. Oh, my gosh. Malachi.
You're Italian and you're reading it. It's the Malachi.
Hey, that's a Malachi. Yeah. That's hysterical. I've never heard that before. That's very funny. I love it. The no, one right. Italian
another,
prophet, Malachi.
Joke. No, non-English speakers, there was a professor of... psychology and a chemistry, and the professor of psychology always says that he's a professor of psychology, but the chemistry professor was saying, hey dude, you're wrong, it's not a psychology, it's a psychology. And while they were debating, and here's the English professor came, so they said, oh, let's go ask this English professor. And when he heard the argument, he said, oh, bro, your knowledge is so weak.
Where did you get that?
It's just, hey, I live and breathe too, brother.
That's great, my brother. You got a prayer request for us as well, my brother?
Yes, sir.
All right, what do you got?
Hey, pray for my sibling. Their house need a little repair. and monsoon is on their head, and they don't have finances.
Okay.
And at this time in my life, I'm also very tight with my personal finances. So we need a supernatural protection and a provision.
Okay, let's pray for it real quick, okay? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our good friend Sam. We just ask you for Samson to be blessed. He's got some financial tough times. We're just asking that, Lord, you would not only get him through that, but you would provide supernaturally. You took five loaves and two fish, and you made it abundantly able to supply. And we ask you to take what he's got and make it abundantly supply, and let his heart be thankful, not doubtful, but thankful that you've got a great thing coming for him. And we certainly pray for protection for his brother, for his siblings, for his family, that there would be nothing evil that would befall him, but the angels of God would protect, and that you would put a bubble over them and a hedge around them, just like Job had a hedge before his trial. We ask for your grace in this, and a comfort and a peace in everybody's mind, that you are in charge and they can count on you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, David, for bearing with my quirkiness.
Yeah, no, that was good. Malachi. Yeah. Yeah, no, not yet. All right, that was a good job, brother.
The trivia question is Jacob or Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob. And what did the angel do for Jacob? What did he do for him?
Well, he blessed him.
He blessed him. That's it. There you go. He blessed him. He said, I'm not letting go. You bless me, buddy. That's true Jewish blood right there. Excellent job, bro.
All right. Thank you, brother, and have a blessed weekend.
All right. God bless you.
Happy Father's Day to you, David.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Keep praying for Samson. He had a couple of jokes. Malachi. For those of you that are going, what's he talking about? That's Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament. He said, that's a Malachi. This is pretty funny, actually. Now, if there's somebody from the woke group or the cancel culture like there usually is, or for sorry for political correctness, and you're going to say, you did an Italian, slang there. Too bad. Okay. That's my answer. Actually, I did it very poorly. I should have really went, it's a Malachi. That's what I should have done. All right. So he answered the question. What was the thing that Jacob did? So Jacob's wrestling with the angel. He's like, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. That's a dude determined to hold on. Sometimes you just got to hold on. Hold on. No. Not letting go until I get blessed. All right, let me cover this real quickly because our time is tight. John 5:13-14. The man who was cured, this is from Jesus healing him, did not know who it was because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple complex and said, see, you are well. Do not sin anymore so that something worse doesn't happen to you. Okay? So for all the people that think, well, sin is never the cause of problems, that's incorrect. For people that think that sin is always the cause of problems, in four chapters later, Jesus proves that's incorrect. What you need in Scripture is balance. You don't read one part and say, I have all of the answers, when the map is much wider than that. You have to look at the whole thing. In certain instances, in certain situations, sin can create great problems for people. Now, the question that I want to deal with, or what I want to address in this short time, is for you as Christians who are Bible-believing, born-again Christians, who really believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and you understand that you have been freed from the penalty of sin, but you're going through the process of being freed from the power of sin in sanctification, I want to address something that doesn't get addressed enough, and that is, when we sin, Jesus, our sins are covered, but what we're not taking into account is sin does damage. And when we sin, we need healing from that damage. Will that separate you from eternity if you are ignorant of that sin, or if it takes a while before the Holy Spirit convicts you of that sin? Are you going to be separated from Jesus? No. But you should be aware that your sin that you're active in is creating damage and trouble. It's kind of like doing something to yourself that's hurting yourself.
And as Christian as we are, and as faithful as we are, and as diligent as we are, there are times in our lives where we seem to go through tougher seasons, and our ability to resist seems to be a little lower than it should be, or we put ourselves in circumstances that we shouldn't do. And one of the things that you and I need to be aware of is not that you don't only have to pray for forgiveness of sins, because ultimately your sin is forgiven, but there is damage that sin does. It causes problems for us. Do you understand? Anything that you do, anything you engage with that's contrary to God is sin. When I say contrary to God, it doesn't really mean that if you walk down the road and you skip on the sidewalk, that's contrary to God. That's not against God. But if you walk down the road and you pick up a rock and you throw it at your neighbor's window and you break their window and then you run away, that's contrary to God. So the simplicity of that is, if any action, any activity, any thought, anything we do is contrary to God, that constitutes sin. And while that sin may be eternally redeemed for by the blood of Jesus Christ, if that sin is not dealt with, it creates damage that needs healing. And that's why I'm talking to you. I'm really, I know there's ministries that they say there's ministries that don't talk about sin. Well, we ain't one of them. So here's what I'm saying about that. The bottom line is, if you're stuck, if you're really struggling, if you're having a besetting sin, if you're not getting through it, if it's something really deep, or if it's something what you would even consider mild, if there's just something you're stuck in and it's a rut and you're not getting past it, there's damage that sin is creating. And you come before the Lord in sincerity and in truth, and you acknowledge that, and you ask him to heal you. You hear that? Oh, I'm going to go tell everybody I'm doing this. Go tell your maker. Don't run away into the garden and cover yourself with figs and hide. Go to the king and say, this is damaging me. I need help. And be honest. Because when you come to terms with that, his healing is there for you. It's not like he's not willing to help you. Of course he's willing to help you. He loves you. Remember, again, back to the last thing we just said. He has your best interests in mind. But bring that before him. Don't deny it. Confess it. And let the Lord bring you that grace and relief and that repentance in you. That brings a season of refreshment. Oh, that's so good for all of us. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's HeMustIncrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other
ground. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where this show is all over the place. But that's fun. It's Friday. You might as well relax. All right, here's your trivia question. I'll get this one right, okay? What Roman official was visited by an angel who told him God had heard his prayers? Your answer is in Acts chapter 10. What Roman official? Okay?
Joyanne and Cordelia is just like, bam! This is wow. What Roman official was visited by the angel who told him God had heard his prayers? Okay, that's in Acts chapter 10. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. We'll see what happens, but in the meantime, we'll go into history. Let's do our history song.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
Okay. Okay, here's a couple things on fishing. So one or two of these, I think one of these you may like. I don't know if you like this one. I don't remember. We've been together for a while, but I just don't remember this one, so I'll get to it in just a second. First, it's Go Fishing Day, okay, which is like, I mean, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with the idea of going out in a boat, being in a fishing boat, and not having to work, right? Take a picnic day. Picnics are fun. I like picnics. Do you like picnics? I like that, right?
I like them. I've never been to one, but I like them.
I mean, I like that you can take, like, you know, homemade this, or you can pick something up and take it with you. I mean, this, I like stuff like that. It's National Splurge Day, which in America is every day you use your credit card. I'm just saying. Every day you use your credit card, that's a splurge day, unless you really have to, of course. National Flip-Flop Day. Nah, I don't think I'm going to read that one. National Flip-Flop Day. Nah, I'm not going to pay attention to that one. National Flip-Flop Day. Oh, no, it's actually for the shoes. It's also Take a Road Trip Day. I found that to be fascinating that there's, you know, a day where you – road trip. Remember, road trip. We took road trips when we were, you know, 17. All right, here's the one I got to check with T if she likes this or not. It's International Sushi Day. Sushi, yes.
Love sushi.
Yeah.
Not the raw kind, the cooked kind.
Okay, you like the deep fried sushi kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I'm so happy you said that. Last two things. 1940, Winston Churchill gave his famous finest hour speech. This is our finest hour. And then in 1948, the first successful long playing microgroove record was actually, its long play was 10 inches and 12 inches, was a 33 and a third RPM on one side. It played for 23 minutes as compared to the 4 minutes from the 78s. So that was the long play in 1948. Somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Okay. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Cordelia.
Hi, Cordelia. And how are you?
Oh, it's fine. I know, Joyen. She answered by text, but I was in the other room and I ran in here. I said, I know the answer to that.
All right, so you get ready. Here we go. What Roman official was visited by an angel who told him God had heard his prayers?
That was Cornelius.
That is correct, ma'am! You are right!
And my mom's name's Cornelia, you know?
That's right.
They wanted to name me Cornelia, too, but my mom said, no, we would get mixed up. I want to name her Cordelia.
So you had to get that right, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Excellent job. Very, very good. Very, very proud of you. Excellent work.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your show. We enjoy it. Thank you very much.
I'm glad it's a blessing for you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye.
All right. See, that was fun, right? All right. I've decided I am going to do this short joke. I have to change my mind. I'm having fun. Leave me alone. I got most of my homework done. Leave me alone. This is a very short joke, but it is funny. So you got a buzzer. Now it's up to T whether she thinks it's funny or not. But here we go. And then we'll get to it. Okay? All right. Here we go. The crumbling old church building needed remodeling. So the preacher made an impassioned appeal, looking directly at the richest man in town. At the end of the message, the rich man stood up and announced, Pastor, I will contribute $1,000. Just then, plaster fell from the ceiling and struck the rich man on the shoulder. He promptly stood up again and shouted, Pastor, I will increase my donation to $5,000. Before he could sit down again, plaster fell on him again. And he screamed out, Pastor, I will double my last pledge. And as he sat down, a large chunk of plaster fell on his head. He stood up once more, Pastor, I will give $20,000 to this cause. And this prompted the deacon to shout, Hit him again, Lord, hit him again. Okay. That's pretty funny, right? Hit him again, Lord. I don't know how we get away with this stuff. All right, what have we covered? Okay, all good? Good. Okay, oh yeah, website. Let's do the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right. Now, as usually when I do a Friday, my very last segment, that's the one that's a little more cheerier because I like to send people off with a little bit of a cheerier note. This won't be that way. This is the third segment, so you can't count on that, but just follow along. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive hearsays, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned, and in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So there's a couple of things to pick up on this. This is for all of us. This is for me. This is for you, for all of us. There are false prophets and false teachers. If you don't think you have heard or seen a false prophet or a false teacher, you are wrong. Okay, I'm being as nice as I can. These people bring destructive hearsays, the false doctrines denying Jesus. Any philosophy that is promoted that detracts from Jesus Christ as Lord, that spokesperson is a false prophet. Nowhere else to go. Were you trying to say that the atheists who speak are false prophets? Yes. You trying to say they're false teachers? Yes. You trying to say they're going to be distracted? Yes. God's going to destroy them. Yes. That's exactly what's going to happen. They deny the master who brought them, and they bring swift destruction upon themselves. They follow sensualities. Now watch this. And because the way of the truth will be maligned, so they maligned the real way, and in their greed, they use all these words that make things sound all these different ways, but they're just looking for money. Now, you can tell me that's not politicians, and I'll just laugh at you. I mean, how many politicians are like, we're doing this to help the people, right after we siphon 99 cents out of a dollar to make sure our administration things are taken care of? It's like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Right? Destructive hearsays will be things that deny the master, that's Jesus Christ. They follow sensuality, all about feelings, no truth. They malign the truth, which is the word of God. They mock it. Ha! That's just a book. Man wrote that book. I'm sorry. You believe God created the universe, but the dude can't write a book? Then your God is terrible. I mean, is that just, and what do? They're exploiting people for gain. And it's not just the people that put on a show in the name of religion. It's people that put on a show, period. And the reason that I bring that up is you got to have your guard up. One of the things that I would say from a practical Christian point of view is that when you're watching television and the television is doing the overdose and all of these unbelievable godless elements, change the station. You have a clicker for a reason. Watch I Love Lucy. I mean, just watch something that's not like horrible. My point in saying that, and somebody's going to write me a letter about I Love Lucy, I have no doubt. But the point in saying that is don't be a participant in that stuff. That stuff will just drain you out. Because the goal of that stuff is to separate you from your master, separate you from the truth, separate you, just wooing you away, trying to exploit you, trying to get money from. That is our mass communication system today. Isn't it amazing that scripture, 2,000 years ago, Peter wrote this, and it's like, you know, that really applies today. Isn't that amazing that it does? Shows you how that the word of God is alive. It's living. The word of God lives. And so I want you to understand that. And I'm not trying to harp on you guys. You know that. I'm trying to warn you. This, I believe, is going to be a huge increase. There's going to be a bigger increase in false prophets, false teachers, hearsays that separate out Jesus Christ from the truth, that follow like good feelings and vibes, that malign the word of God, and that exploit people for money and just tell lies. It's coming, man. It's here, but it's going to get a lot worse. So know the truth so you can stand against the lie. We're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
My next guest has been on the show before with a prior book. I'm very excited to talk to him about this book. I've seen a couple of the interviews that he's done. And this book is a great apologetic book on Christology, and I'm hoping that people will really enjoy this. First and foremost, let's welcome back to our show David Limbaugh. David, how are you doing, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Excellent book, by the way. Big props for writing
Thank
The True
you.
Jesus, Uncovering the Divinity of Christ in the Gospels. I know they give me a list, and I know you know they give a list for us to ask questions, but
If you remember from the last time you were on the show, I rarely look at that list. So,
no, that's good. That's good.
Because I like to get from you as the author, you know, kind of where it was going and what you were thinking. So let's just talk about at the core level, you know, for the purpose of writing this book, what was the big goal you were trying to accomplish in writing The True Jesus?
Well, I started out, I wanted to write a primer, a survey, an introduction to the New Testament. And as I got into it, I realized that I could not cover it adequately with sufficient depth. So I asked the publisher, Regnery, if I could narrow the focus to just the Gospels, because the Gospels are where you see the living Son of God and you encounter him. And you sit at his feet and hear his teachings and you watch him and you observe his behavior and his authoritative teaching and his empathy for human beings. And you see his declaration of divinity. And why he led the Jewish authorities to want to crucify him, because he was, in fact, claiming to be God, because he is God. And so I want his divinity and his full humanity to jump off the pages of my book. And the book is a compendium of the four Gospels in a consolidated account, not attempting to be a harmony, which you can't totally do. And in a roughly chronological form, the ultimate goal, and with a running commentary, the ultimate goal is I want to inspire people to read the Gospels and the Bible for themselves.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let me point out something. One of our faithful listeners helped me out. I need brothers and sisters. I need all the help I can get. So I was saying hearsay, and it was I should have been saying heresy, and I'm pretty sure that's the correct way to say it. So text me if I'm right. But I was saying hearsay, and it's heresy. And so, you know, I did have the wrong enunciation. I'm pretty sure heresy is correct, but I kept saying hearsay. That was my fault. So take every time I said hearsay and substitute heresy, and then that would be better. Okay? All right. And just in case you ever think, well, Dave, he doesn't make any mistakes. I've never gone through a single day of my life before being a Christian and being a Christian where I haven't made a multitude of mistakes. Okay? All right. We have one more trivia question. Somebody's been on the phone with T for a little while, so I guess we'll find out what's going to happen with that. But that was like the long conversation. That's the thing you guys to remember. When you call in, you can't stay on the phone too long with her, because then she can't do all the things that she wants to do. So we're going to wait on the trivia question so I can give her a chance to kind of breathe. Please be praying. Joy is saying that they want to pray for the book effort. So let me explain this to you. I'll explain it to you because I don't have any problem explaining it to you about the book. So I wrote this book in 2016. It's really a very emotional book about people that have been hurt in churches, okay? I was one of them. But I wrote it poorly. So yesterday I pulled up one of I have a program now. I guess when you get to the doctorate level, you're allowed to use it, but not beforehand. And I came across and I put the book in there. It's 51,000 words, 183 pages. There were 2,121 mistakes. 2,121. So after looking at that, I thought I gotta have somebody edit this. So if anybody's really good at editing, I mean really good, okay, and you won't freak out, don't hesitate to reach out to me by email or text. I'll send you the copy of the book. I want to get it done. I want to get it done right, and I've even already changed the title, but I'm going to release this book for free. I'm not charging for it. I'm going to put it up on Kindle and some other places. I'll probably spend about $200 on the cover and maybe $40 on the ISBN number that you got to have with it. But that's about it. Then it's free and anybody can do it, anything they want with it. So I'm just letting you know. So if you're really, really good at editing English, let me know, because I'm so sick of editing. Can I get my report? I look at my thing and I go,
he goes, you put the comma in the wrong place. So I always want to write back to him and say, Jesus is coming, so that we can keep things in perspective. Okay? Jesus is coming.
All right. Before we do our last teach, let's do our last – can we do our last trivia question? Are we okay to do that? Or do we have something we have to cover? What are we at? Okay. Okay, so we have a prayer request from somebody. Do you want to tell us what it is, and then we'll just take it to prayer? So I'll let you do the summation, okay, like summary, for whatever way you can. Go ahead. Go ahead and share whatever you can.
Okay, a woman named Grace just called. She recently had gotten kicked out of a facility that she was in. She's been having a lot of health and medical conditions wrong with her, and she got abruptly kicked out of where she was staying. She's been going to try to find shelters, but a lot of the shelters have been having a lot of problems, and she's kind of trying not to be in shelters due to her medical issue. So she wants to just, you know, have a prayer request for her and like her in general, herself. And she wants to let everybody know if there's like anybody out there that knows anybody to rent a room or a house or anything. She's willing to talk. She left her number. So if you wanted to call into the station and ask about that information, I'll definitely give it to you. But right now, Grace just wants a prayer.
All right, let's pray for Grace real quickly. If there's somebody who is listening and you think, you know what, I feel like I want to respond to that, you can call into the station and get the number from T. The only thing I would tell you is that you need to be led by the Lord in these situations. We really encourage you to make sure if that's the Holy Spirit prompting you. But in the meantime, we're going to pray for Grace right this second. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we thank T for taking that information, because it's hard when somebody's hurting to share all that. She did a great job sharing with us what the issue is. And Grace needs help, and she needs your help. And we pray for her right now. We pray that there would be not just provision, but there would be a sense of peace, a sense of comfort that would come over her, that she would not be left alone or set aside, but that somebody would rise to the situation to help her out, and that she would be yielded to you. And if there's something that she's really, you know, that she's going on in her life and it's really hard, Lord, we pray you heal her in that, physically heal her from her struggles. And we're asking that in your great economy, bring her help. If there's something that any of us can do, please put it upon our hearts and let us be moved by you to help her in this situation. We just ask for mercy into her life. And right now, we just pray for peace, that she would not be operating out of any fear, but trusting you, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thanks, T, for taking that info. Okay. All right. So pray for Grace. We got a lot of prayer requests. We got still praying for John and Nola, and got to be praying for Samson. We got to be praying for everybody. You just pray for them. It doesn't take much, and it's not real difficult to do. All right. What are we covering? We are covering this. Okay. So the book thing, don't forget, pray for the book. If you know somebody who's really good at editing, let me know. I mean, it has to be editing as in like, you know, PhD, college, not, you know, it's got to be serious editing. I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me, because I already have a program that'll do it at the core element. Here's the simple trivia question. Ready? Who was commissioned by an angel to save Israel from the Midianites? This is in Judges chapter 6. A well-known judge who put a fleece out for the Lord. Who was commissioned by an angel to save the Israelites from the Midianites? This is one of the judges, and he used a fleece to test and see whether this was all from the Lord. What was that guy's name? That's the question there. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Or text 214-210-8483.
T, just try and remind me to get that in there because I'm going to do my best. All right, I just want to read this thing from Ray. It's really good. Just here, hang in there with me. It says this: human history began in a garden, a place rich, full of life, and all that God intended for us. Then Adam and Eve committed the first sin. The first Adam disobeyed God and was banished from the garden, bringing the curse of death upon humanity. And the last Adam, Jesus, obeyed by entering a garden and surrendering to God's will, restoring life to humanity. The garden referred to is the one on the Mount of Olives where Jesus went off to pray, rest, and meditate. Our souls, listen to this, our souls long to return to the garden where God created us. What a great line. Our souls long to return to the garden where God created us. He gave us a love for his creation and a desire to be restored by its beauty. There's something about that line that just really touches me in the sense that in us, what was lost in the garden is still the very thing that you and I are longing for, that fellowship with God, that purity, that simplicity of life that came from the garden, just knowing that that's what the Lord does. And here Jesus, Adam blows it in the garden, and Jesus surrenders it in the garden. And then what do you get in Revelation at the end but a garden, which is amazing. The actual meaning of the word paradise is enclosed garden. And somehow we want to return to the garden. Well, we are going to return to the garden, but here's what was so great. You can visit the garden through the aspect of Jesus opening the way into the presence of God 24/7. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22 teaches us that by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come into the presence of the Lord, which will give us a remnant of the garden. But just remember this. Deep inside of you is a desire to be in that same garden that sin pulled us out of. And you say, well, how can you say that? Because you're born again, and the born again part of you longs for that fellowship with God that's not interrupted or twisted or polluted by the flesh. And so the garden experience is important to understand. Come back to the garden. That garden is where it was lost. That garden was where it is found again by the surrender and the submission of Jesus Christ. And that garden is where we're going in the new heavens and the new earth. No, you can't tell me that's not cool. Come on. That's totally cool. Okay. All right. I still have to do the trivia because if I don't do the trivia, you would go a whole weekend without knowing the trivia. Although you guys know what the trivia is. Okay. The answer is Gideon. Who was the guy? Who was the judge? It was Gideon who was told by the angel. And that, by the way, for the Gideon reference is, let me see where that reference is. Who was the commissioned by the angel to save Israel from the Midianites? Gideon in Judges 6:11 through 23. Okay, fun show today. Love you guys. Keep Grace in prayer. Keep Samson in prayer. Keep everybody in prayer. And get back to the garden, because that's where you'll find the thing you're looking for, more of him. Okay? All right. You have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 72.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but it feels the same. So I punish.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.